Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
There's a lot of you out there this cold morning. Shall we worship together? Stand and sing with us, please.
One, two, three, four, and...
God's people said, amen. Please be seated.
You know, she usually says, please be seated, I was kind of waiting on you. Good morning. Welcome to church. I'm Cheryl Broom, the senior pastor here at Lotus Hills United Methodist Church, and we are considered a lighthouse church, one that is safe for all people to come and worship God and learn and serve and grow. So I'm glad that you're here with us this morning. In your pews in front of you, there are two cards that you may want to use. If you're a first-time guest, if you wouldn't mind giving us some information on this blue card. And for our prayer time together, if you would fill out the yellow card with any prayer request, we have a prayer team that meets here every Monday night at 6. Everyone's invited. If you ever feel a call in your spirit to be part of the prayer team, join us at 6 o'clock right here where we share in Holy Communion and we pray over every prayer request. And then we pray over every name of the people who come to this church. It's a powerful time, so I invite you to be part of that with us. Now just look to your left and look to your right and greet the person next to you if you know them or don't know them and tell them, I'm glad you're here at church today.
We light these candles as we begin worship to symbolize Christ's presence with us. Will you stand in body or in spirit as we welcome the light of Christ? The scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 11. I believe in your pew Bible, that is 566, but I will be reading from the Amplified Bible version. O Lord, you have searched me thoroughly and have known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, my entire life, everything I do. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and you are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, still unspoken, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and you have placed your hand upon me. Such infinite knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high above me. I cannot reach it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the netherworld, the place of the dead, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will take hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the night will be the only light around me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Loving God, you know us better than we know ourselves. Our prayers are in your heart even before they are on our lips. And yet we must utter our prayers. We must proclaim our praise of you and all your wondrous creation. Your love surrounds us, and you have promised to be with us always. You know our heart's desire to serve you. We pray that you will keep us true to that desire. And so we utter our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before even time began, my life was in his hands. I'd like to invite the children forward for our spark moment. Are there any other kiddos out there? Whoa! We have a collision up here. We're all good. We're all good. Good morning, guys. We are continuing to learn about the Bible greats, right? Those big people of faith that we learn about in the Bible. And last week we talked about Moses and his birth. Yeah? He had a pretty rude awakening into the world, right? It wasn't all that awesome when somebody says babies shouldn't be born and they should be put in rivers and all that stuff. It's a weird story, isn't it? You don't remember that? It's a weird story. You weren't there. We'll talk about it. We're going to continue the story today with the Exodus story, and that is when God rescues his people, the Israelites, out of Egypt and out of slavery, which is where Moses' story began, right? And Moses continues on in this story, and it's a really cool story because there's a lot going on in it that causes fear, right? Have you guys ever been afraid of anything, ever? You're all super brave. I'm scared of stuff all the time. Every time I get behind a car on 1604, I'm terrified, right? But I know that God has a plan because I've seen it time and time again in this book here. And that's what we're seeing in the Exodus story. God's big plan is unfolding and he's taking care of his people. And they're terrified. And Moses says something to them that sticks with me in Exodus 14:14. He tells the Israelites, are you ready for this? He says, "The Lord himself will fight for you. You need only be still." If we would just get out of our own way and let God be God, things would be so much easier for us. And the Israelites learn that through their journey. When they allow God to take care of them, he does in a big way. So we're going to learn more about that today. We're going to learn more about God's plan. We're going to sing unto the Lord, and we're going to make some wall hangings so that we can remember that God is with us always, and he is our strength. Does that sound good? Yeah? Okay. Let's bow our heads and pray. You guys ready? Say, dear God.
Dear God.
We know you have a plan.
We know you have a plan.
And are always watching over us.
And are always watching over us.
Help us put our trust in you.
Help us put our trust in you.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's exit straight out the back for spark worship.
As we do our prayer time together, I reminded you of the yellow cards to fill out your prayer request and turn those in as the offering plate goes by you. If you have any other prayer requests, let's just take a minute to go before God in the silence of our hearts, and then we'll pray together and end with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Oh God, you created us divinely perfect, and yet we have made mistakes. These mistakes are not who we are, for our hubris, our selfishness, our short-sightedness, we apologize. Today, may we be the people you've called us to be. May our every thought and action glorify you. We thank you that the light of creation resides in our hearts. And we acknowledge that nothing we have done or that others have done and nothing that we have thought or others have thought can dim the light that dwells in us. Allow us to accept your tender mercies, your light and love, to see your light and love shining in others. You are welcomed here, O Lord. Grant us wisdom and kindness that we may offer your welcome to others. As we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today we talk about how God knows us. God knows that we all want to belong. God knows that we want to be where someone knows us. You know, like where everybody knows our name and they're always glad we came. It goes, you remember that song from the show Cheers? Now, if I was in better voice, I would sing it to you, but I'll tell you what the words say. Unless you want to sing it, Kathy. No. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. You want to see what you can be with people who have troubles all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Cheers was a popular show for you youngsters that weren't born before the 90s. And it was about a bar, and it was about where everybody who came in, there was a cast of people, and they all knew each other. Everybody knew the name of the person. I wonder if you could think of a place in our community now where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. What comes to mind? Church? Disney World? A local bar? A friend's house, maybe a restaurant that you go to all the time. And the first thing you said was church, but you know what? That's a lot like kids when you ask the answer and they say Jesus. Always the answer is Jesus. But if you ask most folks, church is not high on the list where everyone feels welcomed and everyone feels loved. I wonder why that is. Because, you know, we come here to learn about God and to know that God is learning about you. God knows you. And we as people, we have a human need to be known, to be valued, to be reminded that God loves us. So let's look to Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. In your pew Bible, if you want to read with me, it's on page 886. As we listen for a word from God. This is Jesus speaking. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. This is the word of God for the people of God. Jesus said this. And we just heard Kathy read from Psalm 139, confirming that God knows. God knows us. God knows everything about us, even the number of hairs or no hair on our heads. Yeah, Jack said he had three. God knows. God is in control of everything that happens in the world, and God has a plan for our lives. Even when we face difficult times, we can trust that God is with us, and God will never abandon us. The sparrows that Jesus talks about is a symbol of something very small and insignificant. They're just tiny little sparrows, and they're common, and they're easily overlooked. And even though Jesus says the sparrow is insignificant, God still cares for them. God even knows how many hair is on the head of a sparrow. And sometimes we may think that we're insignificant. We may feel like nobody knows who we are. But God knows. God knows that we are even more important and more significant than those tiny little sparrows. And if God cares for those sparrows, how much more does he care for you and I? Let that sink in. You are so valuable to God. We are God's children, and God loves us with an everlasting love. The Bible says that God knows us better than we know ourselves. In Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4, King David writes, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive the thoughts from afar. You search out my path. Am I lying down? And you are acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, O Lord, you know it altogether. This passage suggests that God knows everything about us, including our thoughts and our feelings and our intentions. I don't want you to be afraid. Be not afraid. God knows our past. God knows our presence. God knows our future. And some people find this idea of God knowing everything about us pretty daunting and even frightening. They worry that God will judge them, condemn them for their sins. God knows our weaknesses and still loves us unconditionally. It's so true. God wants to help us grow and become the people that he has created us to be. God knows our thoughts. God knows our feelings. God knows our potential and our purpose in life. God knows how we can glorify him, and God knows how we alone can reach the people that he desires to reach through us. God knows. And God knows that he can use us to share the gospel and share Jesus Christ and be the hands and the feet and the heart of God for the world. You know why? God has faith in us. That is so huge. God has faith in us and calls us to be people who live for him. The truth of the matter is that we all do desire to know God and to be known by God. And we need to be heard and we need to be seen. This is a desire of all human beings. We want to feel significant. We want to feel worthy of the attention. We want to feel validated. It's painful to be ignored or anonymous or irrelevant. And yet we often find ourselves in situations we are exactly like that, where we feel like nobody understands us. And we wonder even if anybody cares. Our need to be known is so great that there is a multi-million dollar industry in social media, right? Social media has built itself around posts and clicks and likes to provide people with a solid, measurable evidence that they indeed have been seen and heard and approved by others. Anybody here on Facebook? Well, in case you don't know about Facebook, when you post something on Facebook and you have friends that you've invited to be your friend, friends, you see that? Do you know how many friends I have? Guess. I love you. Close. I have a couple thousand friends. There was a time in my life if anybody sent me a request to be my friend, I'd say, yeah, I don't even know some of them. I've gotten pickier over time. Because when you post something on Facebook, all your friends, and if you don't have it private, anybody on Facebook can make a comment on your post. And they can do a thumbs up, which means, I like what you said. The other one is a heart with a hug. What do you think that is? I care. And then there's a heart. I love. Yeah. And then there is a laughing one. Ha, ha, ha. They thought what you said was funny. And then there's a one that says, wow. Wow. And finally, there's one that's angry. It's not even a thumbs down. It's just, I'm mad. Maybe they're mad with you. There's a sad one too. Oh, that's right. Jenny, there's one with tears. And so anyone can post and react to your post. And sometimes that's super affirming. And sometimes that's can make you upset and sad. But here we are living in this community where we want people to know what we're doing. How many shots have you taken of your food and put on Facebook? Zero, Connie. There are food shots, there are sand shots, there are trip shots. There, people take pictures of wherever they are. It's a little scary. And they want to share so much, it's oversharing. And other people evaluate their sharing. Have you ever got a really nasty comment? Yeah, Jenny said then what she does is unfriend. Here's the good news. God always, if you posted anything, whether it's silly or insane, God loves it. You would see a heart from God. God never judges us. He just loves us. I wish people could be the same way, but we're not. We need to be known. We need to be loved. Just think of yourself being loved by God always. That's my heart. Can you imagine that God loves everything about you, regardless of what you post? Even the silly ones get a big old heart. Yes, we long to be known to one degree or another, which is not surprising because God created us to know and be known by God. God has been seeing and hearing and knowing us for a long, long time and has given us many ways to know God. One way is through Jesus. When we know Jesus, we know God. When we trust Jesus, we can trust in God. And then God has given us the Bible, and the Bible teaches us about God's character. And we can trust in God's character. And then we learn about through evidence of grace within your own life. Can you look back on a time in your life and just seeing God's hand all over the situation? So God gives us evidence through our lives. And God gives us evidence of this saving grace when we look at beauty. When we go outside and it's not 200 degrees. If you love animals and you see a puppy or a rabbit or a kitty cat, you see God's love in creation. There's all kinds of way God shows us love. And God knows us intimately. God knows our hearts. And we can rest in that and find comfort and knowledge that God sees and hears and knows us. You don't need Facebook likes. The Bible is filled with all the many promises of God and all the reassurances of God that He knows us, He sees us in all the ways that matter the most. God knows. He knows you by name. He knows your thoughts and feelings, your past, your present, and your future. God knows every single thing about us. And we know God in part through all these resources. But what is our part of the relationship with God? I will tell you, I think it is for us to trust. To trust in God and know that we know what we know is the truth, that God cares for us. And it all comes down to trust. Trusting in God, though, is a journey. It's not a destination. For many of us, it takes time and effort and practice. Imagine for a moment a person walking through a dark, dark forest, and they're afraid of the shadows and of the noises. And they can't even be sure if they trust their own judgment, so they keep looking over their shoulder, trying to find a way, constantly on edge and anxious. This is what it is like to have a lack of trust in God. You're trusting yourself, and there's always going to be some traps around you. We may be afraid of the future. We may not know how to trust in God. We may not trust that God will even take care of us. And that will lead to a very anxious life. And we look for signs of God, but we can't see them because we're too busy. And we're too closed off. And we're too afraid. Have you ever noticed that when you're afraid, you guys probably don't get afraid like I do. When you get afraid, everything closes in. And it's like you're in a hollow, darkened space. And yet God knows and provides for us an open window or an open door or some light shining that you can follow. That's what God does. So keep looking for that sign, because our lack of trust in God will make our lives very difficult. And we will not have any peace of mind. We cannot even have a close relationship with God if we don't trust God. And we go through life on the surface. And there will be times when we're afraid. And there will be times when we don't know what to do. But we can learn to trust in God. And we will find that He's always there for us. He will never leave us or forsake us. Trusting in God's not always easy. It's a journey worth taking. Because when we trust in God, we will find peace and power and hope and love and strength. And that is so much better than being in the dark. The good news is that it is possible for us to overcome our lack of trust in God. But it will take some time and effort on our part. Here are a few things we can do to learn to trust in God. Things like learning about God's character, learning about God's love and mercy and faithfulness. Pray and talk to God, just like you would talk to your best friend. See, God knows. So talk to God. You can tell God anything. Spend time in God's word. What is God's word? The Bible. Spend time in Bible study, learning about God's character, that you might trust in God. Because if you don't know, you don't know. Roy Allen's starting a Disciple One class in September, and it goes through the entire Bible. If you want to know about God's character in a deep, rich way, go to that class. God knows you need to know about God's character. And seek Christian community, like you're doing this morning. When you come to Christian community, you get to see signs of God's love. God's love in other people, in the beautiful music. It's important to remember that trust takes time to build. It's usually not something that happens overnight, but it's worth it. It is worth it to build trust in God, because God knows what we're going through. And remember that God is bigger than any circumstance you face. God is bigger than any trouble you may have. God is bigger than any fear that may be grasping your heart. God is the creator of the universe. God is sovereign over all things. So don't be afraid to ask God for help. God knows it's not always easy to trust. It takes courage, takes faith, but it is well worth it when we trust in God and experience peace beyond understanding, joy that fills your life, and love, because God knows and cares, and God will always be with us, no matter what. And to that, I always say, amen,
amen,
amen.
I would invite you to prepare your hearts to offer your gifts to the Lord. I give because this church is my home. My family is here. Will the ushers please come forward to receive our offering? Please stand in body or spirit as we sing our song of praise. us pray. God of all creation, the offering we bring to your altar this day is the fruit of our labors, and we want to bring you the best we have. No harvest comes from us alone, but starts in your goodness, and many have contributed to every good gift we bring. We know that you care for us more than the birds of the air or the flowers of the field, and so we offer these gifts as a sign of our gratitude and our commitment to share your love with the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I think it's a miracle of time because it's only 10:45 and you get to go home and or go to brunch or go wherever God is leading you to go to do God's will and work in the world, never forgetting that you are known, you are loved. And if you can't believe it, turn to somebody here in this church and we will reassure you of God's love and care for you. Go forth in God's grace and peace. Amen.
Amen.